Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to Thanksgiving Eve here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Time to answer your listener questions, including a great question from listener Michael down in Bentonville, Arkansas, about spending Thanksgiving week down at Walt Disney World. Got that one in just in time. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. Theme Park News Disney Edition is a great app that will give you all the latest news down at Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise Line, Disneyland, and the Disney company as a whole. It's great to have right there on your device. It works on all iOS devices. It gives you something to read in the morning as you're having your cereal, and it tucks you in at night with the latest Disney news. Have it all in one place. Grab this and other great iOS apps that'll turn your Apple device into a Disney device over at virtualmickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. I know many of you will be doing your Black Friday shopping not only here this weekend, but also continuing through the holiday season. There are some great deals over at Amazon, and we ask you, when you do that online shopping, please use our Amazon affiliate link at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really does help support the show, and during this holiday season, it's a painless way to support the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, click on beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon before you do all of that online shopping.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1253 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. This is the special episode of the year that we call the Over the River and Through the Woods episode, because hopefully you're out on the roads or up in the air taking some time off to go spend Thanksgiving with friends and family, everybody here in the States. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. Thanks for taking the show along with you. And today we are going to answer your listener questions. The first question is going to be just in the nick of time. So joining me to do that, we have Ricky from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And let's make this official. I officially pardon the Be Our Guest podcast turkey at this moment. Welcome to the show, Ricky. What's going on?
I didn't know we had a turkey, so I learned something new today.
No, the joke is that the turkey is you. You have been pardoned.
Oh.
So there you go.
Oh, that makes me feel sad now.
Hey, did you see on TV? Those turkeys got to stay in like a room that put Beach Club to shame. I mean, it was ridiculous. Nice. It was some big fancy hotel in D.C.
Oh, I'm sad that they got better housing than I have.
I'm saying, definitely wasn't All-Star Music, you know, or anything like that, man. It was plush. There was like a hot tub in the room. It was like, come on, man, these are birds. Are you kidding me? Get them out of there. You know, they taste good. So anyway, so you're doing the old Thanksgiving thing in Atlanta, huh?
Yep, family is all here. There's 6 adults, 4 cats, and I feel like I should say a partridge in a pear tree, but that's the wrong holiday, so...
I'm just saying, watch out for those MARTA buses. They might get in the way of your celebration.
They might get in the way. Oh, my gosh. I seriously laughed for a good, like, 5 minutes when I saw that video. I was like, yep, that seems about right. Oh, my goodness. That was hysterical. Now I'm loving all the memes, all the things going on about people, you know, other things where it's being blocked. I think it's hysterical.
Ricky walks out with, like, presentation of the big Thanksgiving turkey. Everybody is sitting around the table waiting to see it, and a MARTA bus goes between her and the family. You know,
I mean,
so you can't
absolutely.
See it.
Absolutely. That's how it works, yes.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner, and I got it right today, of the Magic for Less Travel. She is freshly returned again from Central Florida. All the fun down there, Pam Forrester. Happy Thanksgiving. That's it. What's up, Pam?
You want to live it until you're back at home, and then it's like, oh, crud. I have so much to do. So anyways, but yes, I am. I'm freshly returned, embraced a little sun, and saw... the lovely Franco Harris was on our flight. I had sent, I think Steve sent you some pictures, Mike. But the greatest thing about this was we were standing in line at Southwest, and I heard his voice. And he does a few commercials here in the Pittsburgh area. So I knew who it was and looked up. As luck would have it, also in the Southwest waiting area was another guy who apparently was a Steelers fan, since he had on a yellow Steelers hard hat from back in the 70s, an Iron City light can, beer can from the 70s when the Steelers had won, was glued onto the top and then a terrible towel under that. So this guy was in his glory. But anyways, I will just say Franco was incredibly gracious. I actually sat in front of him on the flight. That's just how, it, you know, the things played out. And he's such a nice guy. So it was kind of cool to see that. That was back when athletes were athletes, I will just say.
He was, man. Those football players in the 70s, man, there's no joke about that. Now, here's what I would have done, though. Just to make sure he was authentic, I'd had to toss something back over my seat to see if he can catch it. Because, you know, he's got the immaculate reception. Like, it would not hit the ground. He would catch whatever you toss.
That's right. Yes, he would have. I have no doubt he would have been able to do it. But anyways, yes. So nice guy. He was really incredibly gracious. He let people take lots of photos with him. So
that's so good, Franco. Yeah, and you know, speaking of celebrities on planes, my sister-in-law and her friend Beth were flying back from a great Walt Disney World vacation about a week and a half ago. Buzz Aldrin on the flight. I mean, talk about feeling safe. If you like in the airplane movies, is there anybody here that knows how to fly a plane? Well, you know, here, I can give it a shot. I flew, you know, a great aircraft and have actually flown back from the moon. But yeah, that'd be sweet too. Didn't get a picture though. I was like, you didn't get a picture, but he, you know, he's cranky sometimes. I mean, he's older and you went to the moon. You can be cranky. So
I think when you step on the moon, you get a little, there's something that comes back, makes you a little cranky.
Maybe. I'm just saying. When I'm 80, I'll probably be cranky as he is too, and I've never gone to the moon.
When you're 80,
yeah, I'm cranky now. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, let's be honest, it's already happened.
That's true. All right, Michael's up first, and he says, "Hey, Mike, great name, by the way. I just recently found your podcast and have quickly become a regular listener on my commute to work and frequent drive to Springfield. I have a question though. My parents and I, as well as my 10-year-old niece, are going to Walt Disney World the week of Thanksgiving." Okay, we're close. We're only doing two parks, Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom. I'm a former cast member from the Disney College program, and I visit Walt Disney World a couple times per year. My parents and niece, however, have never been. Do you have any advice on must-dos? We're going to be in Animal Kingdom on Thanksgiving Day. Do you know what the crowds are typically like? Thanks for all that you do over there. Michael, looks like he's in Bentonville, Arkansas, 938 miles from Pam in Pittsburgh and 339 miles from you in St. Louis. Thanks so much, Mike. And my Missouri Tigers will be invading not Bentonville, but Fayetteville, Arkansas on Friday for the border war. We're going to get it. If we win this one and things fall the right way, we might end up in Florida for a bowl game. Who would have said that about 6 weeks ago? Anyway, enough football talk. I'm just excited. So Thanksgiving Day, Pam, have you ever been there for Thanksgiving? I will say the crowds are going to be really high. I've been watching. I mean, they're just like it's getting bigger and bigger. So advice for Thanksgiving week, especially considering most of the family's never been.
I have been on Thanksgiving, and actually, we really had a great time. I had Thanksgiving dinner at Yachtsman Steakhouse. Hello. I mean, nice. I'm not sure it gets a whole lot better than that. But anyways, so, you know, it is busy. It just is. But here's the thing, you know, that you need to do. And we say this a few times, you know, whenever someone asks about it being busy. But I think that although it is busy, I think FastPass Plus has made it a little easier because you can lock in some attractions. And so you know that you're going to be able to experience those attractions and maybe fit in some other things around that. And also, if you're planning on eating Thanksgiving dinner, make your plans now if you haven't already, because you want to have a place reserved. You know, you just absolutely do. But yeah, things are busy. Get there early, make Fast Pass, and make your advanced dining reservations.
And here's my rule that I've had standing since way back, like in college when I was a speed skater, because there were always a lot of competitions, big like speed skating meets over the Thanksgiving weekend because they lasted 3 or 4 days. And if we were out of town, one time we were in Denver, one time we were actually in Marietta, Ricky, kind of near you. And the rule was you got to have turkey of some sort on Thanksgiving, whether it's Subway turkey sandwich, a turkey leg. You know, it could be there were a turkey jerky. I mean, but no matter what, you got to have some sort of turkey, even if like you're going to say Tiffin's or something like that. I mean, you got to find something that has turkey in it or else you're not American. So, Ricky, I know you did Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago or a couple years ago, right? Didn't or
nope,
you were down there
actually,
around the holiday or Christmas?
One holiday I haven't done at Walt Disney World is Thanksgiving. So, but I do know that there are a number of restaurants that are offering Thanksgiving meals, particularly restaurants that you wouldn't necessarily think of. They don't just for future warning for people who may be planning trips, Disney doesn't typically announce a full list of restaurants until maybe a couple of weeks before,
like,
which I know is so frustrating for people. But oftentimes they will announce a few restaurants on the Walt Disney World website. Now they don't officially announce them. You actually have to search like the word Thanksgiving, and then you can find them. That's how I found them in the past for which restaurants are offering a Thanksgiving meal special for, you know, for the holiday season there on actually Thanksgiving. But yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out what restaurants are offering special Thanksgiving meals because Disney doesn't put out the information super early ahead of time. So I know that's super frustrating actually for everyone involved, because I want to get my pages, you know, built on the mouse for less for what restaurants are serving Thanksgiving food. So
yep, yeah. I hear you. Yeah. So just do the best you can and just, you know, have a good time. You're with your family. Everything's new for the rest of the family. You're a former cast member. You know how to give everybody a good time and show the good stuff. So happy Thanksgiving to you. Enjoy it down there this week. All right, next question's from Paige. Hey, guys, going on the cheap in February on an AP discount staying at All-Star Music. Is there a certain building, room, area I should request? That's it. Pam, what do you say when people ask for requests in general? She's staying in music. I would just say, you know, if you want to be close to transportation, ask that. If you want to be close to the food court, ask for that. If you want to be by a pool, ask for that. I don't necessarily always give a certain building unless that is exactly where I want to land.
Right. I absolutely agree. And this is often what I tell people as well. You know, oftentimes there's like some websites that will say, well, this building's the best or this building's the best. Well, what if that building that you were told is the best for, let's say, being close to transportation, but you happen to be in the room that's the furthest in that building from transportation? It may not meet your needs. So just like Mike suggested, ask for what you want. If what is important, what is most important to you is that you're in a quiet location, put that before anything else. If what's most important to you is that you're closer to a main building, first of all, check and see if there are preferred rooms, because if they are, they may be in a check and see if they're preferred location rooms. Because if they are, then that might be something that you want to book instead of just request, because chances are you won't get it as a request. But put your most important request first. And then if you have something else, you can list that too. But if you show up with a list and the room assigner is looking at them and you have closest to transportation, closest to the main building, high floor, very quiet, not here, but over there in room 35 of this specific building, chances are you will not get it. But if you just have a couple requests that are really important, that's the way I would request them then. Just stick to those.
That's exactly what I do. Just what is the most important one or two things? Boom. And I typically get it, you know, because that opens up a huge inventory of rooms. If you're very specific, you know, that room or that, you know, section's gone, you're out of luck. So good luck. And music's great. You'll love it. All right, next. Hello, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We are a party of six, and we're going to Walt Disney World November 18th through the 25th. Oops, we missed this one by a little bit, but let's go with it. And staying on property, I made my FastPass reservations, but was having difficulties with two of my party missing off of our reservation. Some were for later times. For example, our Seven Dwarfs Mine Train isn't until 9:25 p.m. Our Flight of Passage is 8:05 p.m. Would you keep these and not be able to get extra fast passes all day? Maybe rope drop them in the morning and cancel the ones later while in the park? Thanks for your help, Janice. She's in Ohio. So I think what she's asking, Ricky, let me ask you your thoughts on this. So, you know, she got Flights of Passage, which is the golden ticket at this point, but it's for 8:05. And so that's going to basically exclude her that day from getting a rolling fast pass later on in, like, yeah. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, again, a difficult to get fast pass at 9:25 p.m. So I think she's in this predicament where she's glad to have those fast passes, but she's feeling a little remorse that she can't, you know, maybe do all three in the morning and then just go with the flow the rest of the day and maybe use 10 fast passes because you're locked into just those three at that point. So what do you say to folks in this predicament?
You know, it's tough. If you think you can make it for a rope drop, then try for a rope drop. I would keep the fast passes until I either knew that I had ridden them, or if you want to ride them again, then I would keep them. But if you do get the chance to ride them before your fast pass, is up, then I would, remove the fast pass, and then you can reschedule on the fly at that point. It's a little it's a little harder to reschedule on the fly, I think, at a park like Animal Kingdom, just because there aren't as many attractions there. Somewhere at the Magic Kingdom is usually better. You have better luck at rescheduling your fast passes. So that's something to consider, too.
All right, let's get to Paul. He's up next. Hi, Mike. One of the lizards churned me onto your show in August. I've been listening while I run ever since. Paul, keep going. Chugging along. One more mile, Paul. You got this. Anyway, I'm going to be visiting Walt Disney World for the first time in 20 years next week with my wife, our two boys, 2 and 6, and my mother-in-law. I'm hoping to sneak off to do a run while there. We're staying at Caribbean Beach Resort. Where would you suggest I try to run for about 4 to 5 miles? I'm concerned that the construction will prevent me from doing much running at the resort. Love the show. Thanks. Paul is in Aiden, North Carolina, 525 miles from Pam. So, you know, Paul kind of answered the question that I would give, gave the answer that I would give. First of all, I don't think I would run at Caribbean Beach right now for the fact that it's more like a maze and there's not a lot of great places. And you know what? There's great places to run at Walt Disney World. Now, it's going to take some effort, and, you know, maybe you can steal away. 4 to 5 miles takes about an hour for a lot of people. So what I would do, because you're going to enjoy this, there's two places I really, really, there's actually three places I really like to run at Walt Disney World. Now, you would have to take a bus, or I would just take an Uber, or if you have a car, drive over. Pop Century, running around Hourglass Lake, is a great run. It's about probably 3/4 of a mile per lap. So you go around a few, you know, a bunch of times. Also, the boardwalk in the morning is a great place to run around the Boardwalk Beach Club Yacht Club. That's a super place to run, you know, outside of Epcot. My favorite run, I think, though, is to go to Wilderness Lodge and run from the lodge over to Fort Wilderness around the loops where the trailers are, you know, the campers, and then run back. That's a fun loop that's about 3 miles, I think, and you get to see deer in the woods. And I mean, I don't get to go on those kind of runs here in St. Louis. So I wouldn't run at Caribbean Beach. You can run really at most resorts. Animal Kingdom Lodge is kind of the worst for running. There's just really no place to run. But Pam, can you think of anything else? I mean, those are three options. I think Caribbean Beach is a tough sell right now because just all the construction.
Yeah, it is. It really is. There's just a lot of work going on there right now. And I think you're right. It's absolutely difficult. I think that some of the other resorts that might have, you know, it's really, you're really kind of walking back and forth a lot, but there's, you know, the loop kind of between the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian. Again, it's not very far though. So that's something I would think about. And I think if you had the opportunity at any of the larger resorts, that may be a good place to go because then you have that space. I mean, there's the loop again, that is there by the boardwalk and the beach club and the yacht club. And what you could do, although going around that little lagoon there that's by those resorts is, I don't think it's even a mile that's going around the loop. You could also run over to Hollywood Studios and then back from there too. That gives you a little bit. So do a couple of those and you'll be done.
Actually, that's how we did. Paige, Scott and I did our half marathon to get our 13 miles in for Dopey when it was canceled last year. We ran around, you know, Epcot and Boardwalk, but we did run to the studios like 3 times. I mean, it was pouring rain too. Pouring rain. It was crazy. Runners are just stupid. I'm sorry. And I'm one of them. So no, I'm not calling you stupid. I'm just calling me stupid. It was pouring that day, man. But I'll never forget that day either. So love that medal. All right. Jackie's up next. Hi, Mike. First of all, I love listening to the Be Our Guest podcast. It helps me get through the long 3 to 4 years in between our trips. See, Pam whines when she gets like 3 or 4 days between trips.
Right.
So
exactly.
Doesn't put you in shock. I'm just saying, you know, she's like, I haven't been there in like, I've had like 7 meals, you know, without eating at City Walk or without eating at Disney Springs. I'm going to die.
Pam, did you notice he said a universal place?
I know. Look at that.
Right?
Whatever.
That's
it. The Snape is with me. The Snape or the whatever it is. Anyway, the kind of force. I am happy to say that I have 2 countdowns, one with my family in March of 2018 and the other one for a 1 day with my daughter on December 30th of this year. My question is for the later date. I will be a chaperone for a school trip for the December 30th trip. Oh my God, about 50 teenagers. We are unable to set up any fast passes until about the day before. Wait a second. Okay. I know it's been a long time, Jackie, since you've been. You're going December 30th with 50 teenagers. God help you. I'm just, all right, because that's just a little editorial. I know it will be crazy crowded, but I want to do a couple of things that are unique for Christmas. I've always been during the spring. I would love to do the Jingle Jungle Cruise, What else is there that is a must-see at Christmas at the Magic Kingdom? I will not be able to leave the park to go to any resorts. Please hit me up with any advice on Christmas and crowds. 813.6 miles from Pam. Jackie. All right, so she's going that crazy crowded week, which can be done. Don't sweat it. I mean, you're going to have a good time. The 50 teenagers scares me way more than the crowds. I'm just saying. Jingle Cruise, definitely stand by it if you have to. I mean, you're going to have to stand by some stuff, but you can get a fast pass for that. I'm sure if you get it first thing in the morning and then you do it later in the day, because I still say the jingle, and Ricky said it forever, it's jinglier at night.
It's jinglier during the holiday season.
So, Ricky, give some advice here for what they have to stay in the Magic Kingdom and really want to take advantage of the Christmas stuff, because she's never been there during Christmas.
Yeah, so the good thing is that during the day that she's there, it's going to be crazy crap. If she's at the Magic Kingdom on the 30th, I'm so sorry. The only reason I say that is because it's going to be really crowded, because they also show the New Year's Eve fireworks.
That's true.
On the 30th.
Well, and every guest is bringing 50 teenagers with them. So, I mean, imagine how busy it's going to be.
Right. So what that means, though, is that everybody and their brother is going to be at the Magic Kingdom on the 30th, because they're all going to be at Epcot or Hollywood Studios on the 31st. More than likely, they'll all be at Epcot on the 31st. But you'll probably be able to get a fast pass for the Jingle Cruise. I'll say that that's probably going to be something that you can do. You'll also get to see the, if you'd like to take advantage, you can see the holiday parade. The, you know, Once Upon a Christmas Time parade takes place during the day at that time of year. So you're still good there. And I think during that time of year, it actually takes place twice. One at like 12 or 12:30, and then one at like 3 or 3:30. So you will get to see that twice if you choose to. Most of the holiday stuff happens on Main Street. There's decorations, obviously, everywhere. But, you know, you'll definitely want to hit up the Jingle Cruise. That's the only real overlay that's at the Magic Kingdom. I think that she'll have a good time if she just sets the expectations. Oh, and play the Fast Pass game. So, you know, make a Fast Pass for something and then change it and make it, you know, see if you can change it and make it for something that's going to be a little bit earlier after you have the Fast Pass secured.
She's got 50 people traveling with her.
Never mind. I forgot about that part. I mean, it depends on if she can, you know, slip away for a few minutes. I don't know.
That's it. That's what I would do. I'd be like, okay, you know, rope dropping here. Yeah. I will catch you after the New Year's Eve fireworks. You guys have a great time. Don't leave the park and don't ask me for money. That's what I would say.
Right. There you go. Exactly. So at least the good news is the park will be open later that night.
Yeah,
but it'll be open later and everybody and their brother will be there. Sorry.
And also Hottie Toddy, because she's from Oxford. So that's an SEC thing. So that's their cheer for Ole Miss. All right, Rachel's up next. Jumbo. I'll be traveling down to Disney World in mid-December for my third trip this year. But for the first time ever, I'm doing a split stay. I've never considered it before, but you guys talk about it all the time. This is called the Pam effect. So I decided to go for it. Our first three nights we'll be staying at All Star Movies. And for the last night of our trip, I am surprising my sisters and friend with a stay in a deluxe studio at Bay Lake Tower. I'm so excited to stay at the Contemporary, especially since that day we'll be doing Epcot in the morning and Magic Kingdom at night. I know that Disney can transfer our bags for us to our new room, but what else do we need to do to ensure we transfer resorts smoothly? My plan was to get up early and do rope drop at Epcot, then head to the Contemporary when we get the text saying the room was ready, rest for a bit, and then walk to the Magic Kingdom. Should I check in at the Contemporary in person, or can I use the online check-in? Thanks in advance for any advice you can offer. I'm so excited for this trip and the split stay, but want everything to run smoothly. P.S. Mike, I attended Webster University in St. Louis for my undergrad and wish I had known about this podcast then. I don't know whether to thank y'all for bringing me the Daily Magic or curse you, because when I listen to your podcasts, I'm inspired to spend more money on the mouse. Thanks again. Rachel's up in Omaha, Nebraska. Hey, it's a sickness we all have, Rachel. It's Thanksgiving. Let's don't think about the money we spend. Let's just think about the great memories we've had. Let's all agree to do that as a podcast family. Don't think about the money that we've spent. We just made some great memories. That's what life's all about. So anyway, Pam, you are the queen of split stays. I think she's got it exactly right. But what would you offer her?
Yeah, I think she does too. I mean, One of the things I do to try to make sure that things go right is when I get to my second hotel, I typically do go ahead to the front desk and check in. And the reason why is sometimes the Disney system gets a little wonky when you have two active reservations in the system. And you sort of do because you're checking out of one and technically could charge to that reservation or that Magic Band, and it would go on that reservation's account until midnight. But then you're also checking into the other, and technically your Magic Band is linked to that reservation. So I just go ahead and stop in just to make sure that things are okay. But I absolutely use online check-in. And the way, because I do that is I do that because I want them to know when I expect that I will be arriving there. And then also it, you know, you might get your reservation or your room number in advance texted to you prior to your check-in. So those are a couple of things that I do. But yeah, absolutely, they'll help with the moving of luggage. You know, they make it really, I think, fun to stay in two different locations. And you did it the right way because you're staying at the resort that has more amenities. I won't say nicer because I think all the Disney resorts are nicer, but in the second part of your stay.
Oh, and she's going to be at the Magic Kingdom that night. So right there, I mean, if you ride Astro Orbiter, you can be like, that's our room, you know, so there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
How cool is that?
Exactly.
And you can just walk right over. You don't have to worry about buses. Nothing.
That's
ride the
my
monorail,
favorite thing about the Contemporary.
Yeah, I mean, I used to always, because I'm a monorail fan, I love the monorail. It's one of my favorite things about Disney World. But I've learned that I'd rather walk to the Contemporary when I go over there to eat or just meet people. It's just quicker, and it's a pleasant walk. You know, it's so easy. So easy.
Yes.
All right, next up is Tara from Boston, Massachusetts. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a new listener and really appreciate the podcast. Almost wishing I had a longer commute to get in more. What? Crazy, Tara. That's crazy talk. Hopefully you don't have a commute this week. My husband and I both grew up going to Walt Disney World and have been twice together as a couple, last there in 2008. We have booked a trip to take our four-year-old son this upcoming mid-January. Two recent college grads, extended family, will be joining us at the parks. It is the four-year-old's and one 22-year-old's first visit. Booking things so far ahead is new to me and is a bit overwhelming, especially when wanting to balance the must-dos with a possible wild card factor of a just-churned four-year-old. That is, trust me, that is a wild card. With that said, here are my specific questions. Do I try to do more morning extra magic hours or for the early entry, or do I avoid those parks on those days because they'll be more crowded? Okay, she has two other questions. Here's my, and I think everybody has a philosophy on this, that if you've been often since extra magic hours came out, I have a theory, and it's just a theory. I will go to the morning extra magic hour park only and only if I know I can be there about 30 minutes before the park opens for extra magic hours. Here's what happens, I think. I think you see it on the in-room TV a lot. I'm saying the typical guest sees it on the in-room TV, and the night before they say, you know what? Disney's Hollywood Studios has early morning extra magic hours. We're going there tomorrow first thing. Reality hits. Nobody wants to get out of bed in the morning. And even that park gets crowded, even for the people that don't make it to extra magic hours that morning because that was the plan. They don't want to have to switch. If you can make it, it works out well. But if you're going to be 15 minutes late, forget it. Avoid that park. Go somewhere else. So, Pam, where do you fall on that?
I kind of like the way you're thinking here, Mike, because that has happened before to my family. You know, this time when we've been traveling with Hannah lately, and I know there's going to be lots of parents that relate to this, but somehow your daughter ends up taking more time than yes. you thought was humanly possible to get ready in the morning. I'm just like, what in the world is going on? How can this still be going on? I'm trying to be understanding of it. And, you know, before I was a travel agent, I had another profession that reminded me that I need to give her more verbal prompts and try to ease into the transitions a little better, right? But anyways, so this has happened and we can all relate to it. And I think the way that Mike does, because oftentimes if you aren't able to arrive there right at or right before when the extra magic hour time starts, so many people start showing up, right? And then in addition to it, then not soon after, you're going to have all of the other people being let into the parks. And it always takes you longer than you think it does. So I agree. I think we don't as often use the extra magic hour mornings. We tend to, our strategy is typically to go to one of the parks that has had extra magic hour in the last 2 days to try to eliminate some of those folks too from the pool, right? I'm thinking like if they were just at Magic Kingdom yesterday because they came there for extra magic hour, chances are they aren't going to be there today when it doesn't have extra magic hour. Now, there's differing views on that, whether that works or not. And really, you know, just kind of play it by ear. This is one of the reasons why I think the park hopper ticket is just so important. Because if I'm in a park and I've already made all my fast passes there and I'm hating life because it's just busier than I anticipated, then I go to another park.
Yeah,
and
see,
that's it.
You know, and I didn't give the whole thing, but you just said it. That's exactly how the last 3 years we pick what park we're going to the next day. We rarely do go to an extra magic hour morning, unless like I know we're going to make it. And the chances are we're not, because with kids, like if they get up and they're cranky, you're done. I mean, you're done, and they don't want to get up. It's it. I mean, and I just know, like in reality, pragmatically, we're not going to make it most likely. So what I do, it's exactly what I do. I always go to the park that had extra magic hour evening the night before, because that's what I say most people, if you stayed out late at that park for extra magic hours that night, you're probably not gonna, some people will, but you're probably not gonna bounce back to that park in the morning. You're gonna want to go somewhere else because you just did what you wanted to do that night. So that's what we do. We go to the park that had extra magic hours the night before. Ricky, anything to add to this philosophical conversation here?
No, you know what? I think that you guys utilize my plans too. I'll go to the park that had extra magic hours the night before, and I definitely avoid the park that has extra magic hours in the morning, because y'all know I ain't making it to the morning extra magic hours. So it's just best to avoid that park altogether.
Yeah, take the stress out of it.
Lucky to make it before park closing.
I mean, Pam was impressed with my, you know, ability to get up. I will say,
I did.
She has seen me wake up early. I just don't choose to wake up early if I don't have to. So yes.
All right. Her next question says, each park has a special event at night, but at most I would think we can do two of them. We don't want to keep the preschooler up late every night. Thank you. So I'm looking for advice as to which two would be top choices for his age. We're staying at the beach club, if that impacts your answer. All right. So we're looking for like firework shows, evening events. They're staying at beach club. I would say for a preschooler, that's a great idea not to try to just stretch them out and stay up late every night. But, you know, I think Happily Ever After's got characters that they might relate to. It's got great music, you know, and it's the castle and it's Magic Kingdom. So I'd say don't miss Happily Ever After. And I would have to tend to go with, oh, man, I guess just Illuminations, because it's a big fireworks show. And I think a little preschooler would like that. Plus the fact that you can just walk back to the beach club. You won't have to mess with buses and transportation that night. So, Ricky, anything that you would add to that consideration?
Yes, I would do Magic Kingdom and I would do Disney's Hollywood Studios, because then I would assume that they said they had a 4-year-old boy, right? So yep. I would assume that he's probably a Star Wars fan. So he would probably enjoy the Star Wars fireworks.
That's a good call. That's a good
Thank
call.
Thank you. I like Sometimes that. I come up with good answers.
And you can walk back to the beach club from the studios too.
Exactly.
And you know what? That kid's going to be in a stroller. I mean, let's get real. That kid will be zonked out. Like he'll be just, it doesn't matter if he's sleeping in the stroller or a bed. Like just the parents are going to have to push the kid. You know, like it's just rougher on the parents, which is, that's just part of being a parent, man. You get the short end of the stick every time. So, or the like, somehow have to carry the kid. That's even worse
y'all
down that path.
Really making me want to have children. Both saying, of you today are doing a really good job of that. Thank you.
Yeah. Our guest podcast, keeping it real since 2008.
Exactly.
All right. She says, if one is better as a dining or dessert package, we'd be open to that. Or if not one of those specific packages, if booking a certain restaurant reservation, not a package, with the right timing is a good option, we'd take that suggestion. Feeling a little lost when it comes to this pre-booking stuff. Thanks, Tara from Boston. So, Pam, would you guide them towards a dessert party, or would you just kind of, or a restaurant reservation in the evening, or would you just kind of go on your own?
Well, so when you guys were talking, I was kind of thinking about this, where I would, you know, what I would do. And one of the things I actually thought about was maybe seeing the Rivers of Light show, because there are seats and there aren't other nighttime shows like that where there are seats. And well, so
there's Fantasmic,
right? But, and Phantasmic, yeah. Right? And Phantasmic too. But some kids find that a little scary.
True.
And
very
the other
much so.
Thing about the Rivers of Light thing is that you can have a meal at either Tusker House or Tiffin's, and then be able to be guaranteed good seating for that show. So that may be something you can consider. You know, I mean, it's not my favorite nighttime show. I think there are others that are good. But I saw a lot of little kids who loved that show. In fact, there was a child sitting behind us, and I just thought it was so interesting. He was belting out the words to all the songs. And,
oh my gosh, I love it.
Loved it. So, I mean, you never know what's going to appeal, I think, to kids. I think that that's the interesting part about this. So, I mean, you know, just put that one out there, too. And you do have that. And Tusker House is a great character meal. I think very often, you know, you don't have the opportunity to combine a character meal and this kind of seating, but you can here at Tusker House and go ahead and have the seating for the Rivers of Light show.
Yeah, the only thing I was worried about that is that Rivers of Light would put the parents to sleep, then the four-year-old's on his own.
And, you know, right? I'm just it's a chance you have to take sometimes.
I'm just kidding.
Just kidding, folks. I'm just playing. I know some people like that show. I don't get it. I don't think I'm smart enough for that show. I think it's just, it's over, like you said, the little kids get it. It's way over my head. So anyway, Nicole's got the last question of the day. She says, hi, Mike and ladies. We're leaving in 10 days, December 1st, 2017 for Pop Century, and are hoping to book a bounce back offer for the summer of 2018. We've never traveled over the summer to Walt Disney, and so we're looking for input as to when is the best time, June, July, or August. It will probably be at least a 10-day trip, maybe more. The traveling party will be me, my husband, who does not like the heat. He's out of luck. Son, age 6, and daughter, age 2. We'll have annual passes now that we have annual passes now that expire in January and may or may not renew them. We will not be adding the dining plan, but may purchase tables in Wonderland if we renew our passes. Any help on when is the best time to visit with heat and crowds? Thanks, Nikki. Says, P.S. I live about 280 miles east of Pam in Belchlitzville, Pennsylvania. Belchlitzville. So you guys have a lot of fun town names in Pennsylvania, I can say.
We do. Like we King have so many cultures represented here because awesome. We were one of the original colonies. So we have everybody here, but that's yeah, true. We do.
All right. So your husband's out of luck. It's going to be hot as Hades in June, July, or August. Just make your pick. Good news is, though, a 10-day trip, maybe more. That is key to enjoying a summertime trip, in my opinion, down at Walt Disney World, is because you don't have to stay out in the heat. If you're going to be there for 10 days or more, there's no reason to be outside unless you're swimming in a pool or hanging out by the pool with like a margarita between like, say, noon and 4. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the time you take naps or you go inside and do some inside stuff. Ricky, what would you say? What's best for a family of 4, June, July, or August? What would you pick?
I would pick August. Based off of 2 things. I think they said the kids are under school age, correct? So yep. They wouldn't have to deal, like a lot of kids go back to school in early, mid and early August. So I think that that would be good. And the crowds will be lighter. And yeah, it's going to be really hot. So, I mean, yeah, you are out of luck. But I mean, if you pick closer to the end of the month of August, then I mean, you're still out of luck. It's still going to be really hot. It's not going to make no difference.
There's not a big revelation.
At least the crowds will be a little bit lighter for you. So I would pick August.
Yeah, I would say, you know, if you want to go, like if you can go at the very beginning of June, you're going to beat the like Northeast schools being out. So you would get down there probably before a lot of the schools up in like New England and stuff get out of school. I mean, they seem like they go forever. But if you go in like, say, mid-August to late August, all the schools in the Southeast are going to be back in and the Midwest. I mean, we went back. I didn't go back this year, but we used to go back the last year I taught. Last year was, I want to say, August the 6th. So, you know, it's just a matter of. And July isn't bad either. You got the 4th of July, which is a lot of fun. You can go there. I mean, it's just, Pam, final words on this. I don't know what to tell them. I mean, really, if you want to avoid the crowds, early June, you'll miss the Northeast kids. South, you'll miss if you go mid to late August. July, you get the holidays. So what do you say?
Yeah, I think that if you're really looking for reduced crowds, I think that in August might be your best bet because you do have so many folks that are already started back in school. And if you can avoid some of that, you know, that would be the best thing if you're really looking for that. But I mean, you know, like we talked about already on the podcast, I think FastPass Plus really, I mean, it doesn't really mean that you're not going to see any crowds, but when we're there in the summer by using FastPass Plus, it's just, we're just able to do it. It doesn't really seem like it's that crowded because we get to do everything we want.
And the park hours are really long in the summer too, which is awesome.
For sure.
You can be there till midnight. All right. So that's going to do it for listener questions. Thanks so much for sending those in. Keep those coming to mike@brguestpodcast.com. And we'll answer those here on a future show. A couple of announcements. Ricky, I want you to talk about the exchanges that are going on, because I meant to do that at the top of the show because that is very time sensitive, and that's Be Our Guest podcast tradition. But I wanted to announce something that Joe Fickus, one of our Be Our Guest podcast lizards over in the UK, who is a very, very much a motivational gentleman on our group that keeps everybody in line, especially for those of us that are doing Dopey. You get to see his posts every week. Is it going to be a long run week? Is it going to be a short week? Please be a short week. You know, please don't tell me that I have to run 22 miles this weekend. He's great, and he gives, you know, advice and leads conversations and helps everybody through the process. But he emailed me earlier in the week, and we had a nice conversation about during the 5K. So if you're registered for the 5K down at Marathon Weekend, there's a bunch of us that are going to start kind of towards the back of the pack, and we're just going to walk that thing together and enjoy it and have a fun lizard meetup throughout the meet and just kind of get to know each other. I know some folks kind of are a little shy about coming up and meeting fellow lizards, but you'll be able to find us. We obviously have that bright colored greenish-yellow shirt and all the attire you'll find. So, yeah, a bunch of us are going to walk the 5K, maybe just run a little, just kind of run walk in the back of the pack there, enjoy the morning, and get to know each other. So I like that Joe wanted to kind of think about team spirit, team camaraderie, and we're going to do that during the 5K because it gives us that opportunity. You're not going to get swept. You can enjoy getting pictures with the characters and so forth as we're out there, pictures together. So just keep that in mind. If you are signed up for the 5K and you want to have some friends to run and walk and talk with throughout the race, we're going to do that. So we encourage as many lizards who aren't competitive, if you want to go out there and, you know, run a 16-minute 5K and qualify for the NCAAs or something, you know, it's great. You know, we can't all be, you know, Georgia, who did great out at Disneyland, by the way. I think he came in 75th overall in one of the races. Yep. That's ridiculous. He was flying. So anyway, I mean, I love that. But, you know, if you just want to be, you know, like us mere mortals in the back of the pack, hang out. We're going to have a great time. So it's a great way to kick off Dopey Weekend for those of us doing all four. So, Ricky, what about the exchanges? Because this is, I love that we don't just have a podcast. We truly, truly have a podcast family. And this is one of the greatest things we do every year.
We do. And this year it's, I apologize for the abruptness of everything. You know, it was my fault. Let's just put it that way. So the timing of things was my fault. I apologize. But we are having our annual holiday card exchange, ornament exchange. And this year we are adding in a Hanukkah card and Hanukkah dreidel exchange as well. If you are interested in joining the BRS podcast family, like Mike said, this is something that we've been doing literally since the first Christmas of the podcast. So this is our ninth annual which is pretty exciting. And what it is people can exchange ornaments. So you can exchange ornaments with the podcast family. It can be your kid can exchange ornaments with other kids that listen to the podcast, or you can exchange ornaments with other people who listen to the podcast. So that's kind of nice. There's also, like I said, a Christmas card exchange where you can exchange Christmas cards with everybody who listens to the show. And like I said, new for this year, we're going to have a Hanukkah card exchange. So, you know, or an dreidel exchange too. So if you celebrate Hanukkah, that's kind of a unique thing that we're doing as well this year. We're going to see how that goes. So the dates for everything is on the Be Our Guest podcast Facebook page. I'm also going to see about just putting a link on the Be Our Guest podcast homepage, if I remember to do that. So that way you can at least see the link to the post if you're looking for it. But it's a great event that we do every year. And like you said, it's just a way to get the family together because we really are a family. And it's exchanges like this that truly prove that.
Yeah, and if you've never done it, try it this year because it's so cool, especially if you have kids, to get, you know, an ornament or just even a card from somewhere around, you know, the United States or even around the world. I will tell you personally, my Christmas tree is literally full of ornaments that I would have, and they're all special memories at this point. You know, like I got my Roll Tide, one from Alabama that Adam sent me years ago before we were even that close of friends. You know, I have Santa on a space shuttle that Michelle sent me because she's down, she lives down on the space coast. You know, it's like, that is so, I mean, I have all these memories. I have, you know, from Lizard from Australia one year. You know, it's like every time I put that tree up, I'm like, wow, this is from this person. This is, and it's so amazingly cool how it's built up. So be a part of it. You know, it's something, you know, you can, a lot of folks, and I do this, you know, we're all Disney fans. You can find those ornaments on Amazon or on DisneyStore.com or whatever, and, you know, just get it shipped directly. It's not that big of a deal. And then it's a surprise. You know, Mallory always wants to know who her buddy is and, like, where they're coming from and all that kind of stuff. So
the thing that you're going to have to, that you should know is the sign up date is going to be ending relatively ish soon. So just keep that in mind for a couple of the exchanges. So that's why I said you're going to want to get on this ASAP. As soon as you hear this, stop listening. Okay, not now, but once the show's over, go immediately to the page and you'll see all the information. So Don't stop listening now.
Good stuff. I love that we have family events like this, though, that we can, you know, we're not all physically in the same location, but we can still bring each other together through things like this. And thanks to those that are putting this together. I know Michelle's done it for years and years, but I think we had some new people step up this year, right?
We do. So we have Michelle, who's doing the ornament exchange. We have Joanne, who's doing the Christmas card exchange this year. And then Cheryl is doing the Hanukkah card and dreidel exchange.
Thank you so much, ladies. We appreciate that so
much. Yes,
so
you guys are so awesome.
Sure.
Awesome. Awesome. So get on that, drop at the Facebook page, and we'll try to put it at brguestpodcast.com, but go to the Facebook page. I know it's there because I saw it there earlier. We'll pin that to the top too, so we can find that. So get
already
in on
done.
That. All right. Good stuff. All right. So that's a lot of fun, but time sensitive. So jump on that. As soon as you finish the turkey, get out of the coma, grab the phone, do it. Do it before that even. All right. Don't forget today's show brought to you by virtualmickey.com. And I did the theme park news at the top of the show, Ricky, so I didn't have to put you on the spot today. You got that off because I knew we had this announcement. But you have great apps like Days to Go, 42 days to go until marathon weekend, 42 days to go, people. And we'll be down there running 48.6 magical miles. Some of us a little bit less than that, but it's going to be a great weekend. We've never had more lizards at one race weekend, so I can't wait for that. You can count down for that next trip as well with great pictures. You can customize it with your colors, your font, get an audio alert every day, and it even has a little Easter egg that tells you what the day that you can make your ADRs and your FastPass Plus. I told you about it a couple weeks ago. If you missed it, too bad. I'll keep you in suspense. Just touch the screen a lot on your home screen. You'll figure it out. So check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget to follow us on the social media, Twitter and Instagram at brguestmike, facebook.com/brguestpodcast for all of the great information, even a great live show, a great Christmas party, a great holiday party coming on Sunday night, December 10th. It's going to be a lot of fun, so put that on your calendar as well. All right, time to duck out of here and let you guys get over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house for a great Thanksgiving. Truly, we are thankful for you spending some time with us three times a week, each and every week for the last 9+ years. We couldn't do this without you. We have a great time. So much to be thankful for. The fact that we can talk about going to a Disney destination, the fact that we have been to a Disney destination, that we live in a great country, that we have such great friends and family all around the world. So much to be thankful for. So just pause a little bit over the next couple days and think about those great things in your life that you're thankful for. We are truly blessed. So you guys have a great Thanksgiving. For Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to, you know what? Maybe you got to work, but just finish it up, blow it off, and get home and get that bird in the oven. Until then, we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.